This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 2053. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily short, medium, and long wave. On this edition, recorded September 24th, Antarctica, Brazil, Canada, China, Colombia, Cuba, Czechia, Ireland, Italy, Christmas Island, Korea North, Mali, Newfoundland, UK, USA, Uzbekistan, Venezuela, and the Propagation Outlook.
Standard disclaimer. Once again, LRA 36 Antarctica failed to appear Saturday, September 19th for a 5-hour broadcast, which had already been postponed between 15 and 22 UT on 15476, or rather 15475.98 USB plus reduced carrier. Manuel Mendez in Spain got word from the radio operator that was because he was away from that base visiting a Chilean base. However, they were back on the air Wednesday, September 23rd. Manuel found them opening at 1335 UT, and I listened for some time until they closed abruptly at 1616, both of us having to use remote receivers in Brazil. And on September 23rd, Manuel got word from Adrian Corol, director of RAI back in Buenos Aires, that LRA 36 would be on the air Saturday, September 26th, between 14 and 19 in Spanish and German. And Manuel forwards further information as of September 24th from a WhatsApp voice message he got from the station operator, Damian Tranamil. Roughly translated, he said the rhombic antenna is damaged, but he managed to repair it provisionally for the Wednesday broadcast as he went back to the Esperanza base from the Chilean base O'Higgins, where he has been doing rescue exercises. On Saturday the 26th, Damian will try to put on air all the canned Corazon Antarctico programs that he cannot broadcast the previous Wednesdays due to the broken antenna and his absence at O'Higgins Base. These programs are in Spanish, but he would also broadcast a half-hour in German that Adrian Corol of RAI sent to him. No program in English is planned, and the transmission will be if the weather conditions allow it. After that, he will return to the Chilean base to continue the exercises, and in October he will try to repair definitely the damaged antenna. As if Radio Mali did not have enough problems with another African station, ZNBC Zambia, moving on to its frequency, 5995. He did hear Mali in French, September 14th at 2110, but adds, a Brazilian pirate station has been putting daily its signal on 5995 for hours and hours with orchestral music. No IDs, just music copied from an official FM station. He says usually pirates have a defined place outside the official bands, but this outlaw does not follow the rule. Total disrespect with shortwave listening activities. Big hype from the DRM promoters. A new era begins for Brazilian radio broadcasting, sent on to us by Richard Langley. This is because of the arrival and installation of the first shortwave digital DRM transmitter, developed and manufactured in Porto Alegre by BT Transmitters, to be sited at Rodeador Park near Brasilia and connected to one of the huge HF antennas of EBC, Radio Nacional da Amazônia, is also transmitted from there. This transmitter is 2.5 kilowatts to be tested on an experimental and scientific basis. Then I took a look at the more detailed original Portuguese post at the Brazilian Radiolab blog, where the frequency is never mentioned, but it was supposed to start testing on September 21st. This is being promoted as a terrific replacement for antiquated AM broadcasting to serve 7 million people in the Amazon and river dwellers, many of whom are indigenous, because DRM can provide multiple programming on a single frequency. They do not, however, deal with the fact that 2.5 kilowatts just will not cut it, as those of us with real experience monitoring DRM surely know. They ought to fix the awful modulation lately on the high-power AM11780 transmitter, and what's wrong with the other one on 6180. Also used from that site in the past is 5990, and as Richard Langley points out, it might be 9750, where in fact DRM tests were already carried out a few years ago, which Chris Mackerel also reminds us about, so this is not something new. Then Richard Langley finds a mention at the DRMNA IO group that this will be on the 25-meter band transmitter and not 31. So look for a much weaker signal on 11780 and in DRM instead of AM. By the way, I was surprised to see in the World Radio TV handbook that the two frequencies, 11780 and 6180, are listed as only 5 kilowatts, although they were originally 250, I think, and certainly sound like a lot more than 5 even now. Among the Canadian beacons I've heard this week on 371 kHz, Dash and GW. That's at the Quebec village called Kujuarapik. It's a Cree name, and the GW stands for Great Whale, the name of the river upon which it is located. This was September 18th at 0619. The official launch of the new Canadian station in Edmonton, Alberta on 580 CHAH was to be at 13 UT September 28th, after more than 2 months of 24/7 test programming. According to press releases and their domain name, myradio580.com, that will be their on-air ID, myradio580, instead of Radio 1 as they had used initially. This is from the Canadian Radio News FB page by Dan Siss via John Pirkins' IRCADX monitor. And there's also a new station on 600 in Vancouver, heard by Patrick Martin down in Oregon. He says apparently CKSP has got their power and pattern set up now. They had been weak, but now it's much the same signal as the previous 600 CJOR heard decently all day. But those Punjabi stations can be rough with splatter, and many seem to overmodulate. Mike VE7SKA replies on IRCA. CKSP and the co-sited CKNW980 appear to both be up to full strength. Note that the CKSP transmitter and antenna site and the old CJOR site are different locations, and so you can count CKSP as a new station. There's no linkage with the old one. In IRCA, Nick Hall-Patch in BC, Victoria, was hearing a weak carrier on 1564 kHz, September 20th between 13 and 1345 UT. Of course, that's 2 kHz off frequency where station should be in the Far East, 1566, occupied by South Korea. Hiroyuki Okamura in Japan says it's traffic radio in Chinese. Mount Arita says that would be Liaojung traffic radio. However, the next day it was back to normal. I continue to log many mornings, especially before 14 UT, many CNR1 jammers, especially just above and below 13 and above and below 11 megahertz. But I keep seeing reports from others as if they were Sound of Hope, which is actually the target of the jamming. And that has led me to write this. Don't be fooled by CNR1 jamming as Sound of Hope. It can be very misleading to rely on some frequency list references. The way out of band Sound of Hope transmitters are extremely low power, maybe 100 watts. The Chi-Com attempt to jam most of them with high-power, regular shortwave broadcast transmitters carrying CNR1 programming, and sometimes Fire Dragon music. So if you hear Chinese on one of those frequencies, your first assumption should be that it is CNR1 jamming, unless definitely proven otherwise by a specific ID, or not being in parallel to many other CNR1 frequencies, of which there are even legitimate ones, which are not jamming. The ALKI or NDXC list indicates the presence of jamming in some versions merely with an asterisk, which is easily ignored or overlooked. The IB list has separate entries for the jammers, but not always are all included in either. Although China participates in HFCC, while preventing Taiwan and any clandestines from doing so, China does not bother to register its own jamming transmissions. I know that copying real IDs in Chinese is difficult for us, but Ron Howard quotes Sound of Hope, Shuang Ji Sheng Guo Ji Guang Bo Jian Tai, pardon my incorrect tonality, which means Sound of Hope International Broadcast Station. This idea is given twice, one by a man and one by a woman. Also, Wolfgang Büschel has done extensive surveys of these with remote receivers, finding that Sound of Hope is usually slightly off frequency, while the jammers are not. And CNR1 programming includes a time signal on the hour, while Sound of Hope does not. I often monitor until many of these close at 14 UT after the time signal. CNR1 jamming also applies to high-power in-band transmissions, including Radio Taiwan International, VOA, RFA, and a few Sound of Hope, some of those in turn relaying RFA. Voice of Tibet and other broadcasters in Tibetan and Uyghur, and even English, are also subject to such jamming. Every time some Westerner reports CNR1 jamming as if it were Sound of Hope, the CHICOM must be very amused. More on that new anonymous missionary station, a mystery, seemingly in Colombia, or is it Venezuela, on 4940. We were still hearing it in the evening, UT September 19th, but it has not been heard since then on the 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, or UT 24th. So perhaps their testing has concluded, but shall we ever know where it has really been located? Puerto Lleras, like La Voz de la Conciencia, or maybe somewhere in the Venezuelan Amazon? There is still a weak signal, slightly lower on 4939.971, which would be Radio San Antonio in Peru. Definitely from Colombia is the new Voice of America relay for Venezuela via HJHJ Radio Libertad in Barranquilla on medium wave 600. More about that from Don Moore. There's been discussion in Cadena de X, the LAFB group, on this. Santiago San Gil in Barinas, Venezuela, says normally Radio Libertad was received there with acceptable signals, but since the program began, there's been significant co-channel interference. Fernando Viloria in the coastal Venezuelan state of Carabobo says he's been hearing an unlisted station calling itself Radio Verdad and La Emisora de la Alegría on 600 kHz. It is not announced to location. Several DXers wrote of tuning the Radio Libertad programs on the remote in Bonaire, where it's putting in a good signal. That's how we hear it as well. I point out that a great many Venezuelan radio stations have gone off the air thanks to government persecution and or the economic situation. Was there ever a 600 in Venezuela? Yes, there's one in the World Radio TV Handbook of 2014 and two in the 2005 edition. There may have been remnants of these outlets which could be pressed into jamming disservice in short order. Or any medium wave transmitter could soon be retuned to 600, but connecting to a proper wavelength antenna could be quite another matter. We've monitored further via the remote of 600 and have not heard any of that interference. The main problem continues to be Radio Rebelde in eastern Cuba. Via Christa Brunström in the Arctic Radio Club, this from El Tiempo Bogotá by Germán Vargas Lleras, via Rafael Rodríguez in Cadena de X. After 11 years, the Colombian government has initiated a new process of awarding licenses to radio stations, inviting interested parties to indicate their interest before the 17th of September, and so far more than 2,800 requests have been received to operate radio stations in more than 520 municipalities. Something's always wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba, but flying is tying, so I'll skip the details this week. Via kilohertz, megahertz, and gigantic hertz, World of Radio 2053, a non-commercial service, as is our website, worldofradio.com. Many thanks this week for generous financial support from Gerald T. Pollard in North Carolina, who sends a seasonal check in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK, 73702. One may also contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO at yahoo.com. A tip for rational living? Don't vote Republican, but do vote. And here are two websites for assistance with details on how to vote in every location. BetterKnowABallot.com or NBCNews.com/planyourvote. Stephen Luce says it looks like Czech Radio will be shutting down its remaining medium-wave transmitters and long-wave 270 on December 31st, 2021. The long-wave band in Europe continues to empty out. The big power reduction on 270 a few years ago indicated the facility was headed for closure. He made an online translation of an article at digital.rochlas.cz, which says AM technology is not entirely promising, already obsolete. We have to prepare for this by communication. It will not be easy to convince older citizens to exchange their receivers. That is why CRO will start a senior station for them. The public media currently operates 6 medium wave and 1 long wave transmitter. Manuel Mendez in Spain reports a shortwave pirate, which may be in Ireland, at least it pretends to be, Fun Radio Dublin, 5789.9, September 19th at 1810 to 1830, with pop songs and ID as Fun Radio AM, or just Fun Radio. Around 06 UT, I often have a carrier on 846 kHz, which I don't think is from Europe, but instead from south of Hawaii, Christmas Island, which is really spelt not the way it looks, K-I-R-I-T-I-M-A-T-I. However, no audio. I was also having such a carrier at 1145 UT September 24th. In IRCA, Walt Salmon Eve in BC says 846 was booming in September 24th at 0515. The signal is super strong, but no modulation heard. A few weeks ago, we found one of the Voice of Korea frequencies from the north considerably offset, plus 0.2, 13760.2. Now, Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria has found some of their other frequencies offset by the same amount. Add 0.2 to 15180 and 15245 at many different hours, the latter apparently replacing the 13760. Even stranger, on September 23rd, Ivo Ivanov found the Russian two-hour broadcast at 07 UT on 15245.2, but there was also an open carrier on 15245 exactly, apparently, two different transmitters in North Korea. Ivo Ivanov also reports on a clandestine for North Korea, Voice of Wilderness, transmitted from Uzbekistan at 14 to 15 UT, has moved from 7615 to 7625, and on Sundays there's an additional half hour. And on the 22nd, he says, although the signal was very good, it was without a carrier. Newfoundland and Nan. Now that we're beyond summer, I'm again hearing the 2 MHz marine weather frequencies, 2598 USB, September 23rd at 0224 in English, which according to listings would be VOJ6, Porto Basque, Newfoundland, and on 2749 USB at 0225 in French, that would be VAR9 in Yarmouth, Halifax, Nova Scotia. Hearing a local ID is very difficult, so one goes by the listings as several different sites alternate on each frequency. There are three other Canadian marine weather frequencies, which I have never been able to hear due to scheduling or unfavorable distances, 2054, 2514, and 2582. The Xers in the Atlantic Northwest, such as Mark Connolly in Massachusetts, have been getting regular reception of UK Gold on 1548 medium wave, much better than before. There seems to have been some change in their parameters, such as September 23rd at 2301 UT. He says they are in most nights now, and he has an audio clip of their ID. It sounds like an American accent, but it's on 1548. On 8764 USB, September 21st at 2344, I was hearing marine weather info about Tropical Depression Beta. But you better know your geographic coordinates to make any sense of it. It was almost the only voice to be heard on the entire 8 MHz band. It's listed as NMG, the U.S. Coast Guard in New Orleans, with this broadcast until 2350. But tuning down, I found another marine weather broadcast on 8502 USB, 5 minutes later. This was for the Bahamas and the North Atlantic. Exactly the same synthetic male voice as on 8764. So I compared it, and by golly, the two were in parallel, almost synchronized on two different receivers. But this one is NMN, Coast Guard Chesapeake, Virginia, also on the air until 2350. I didn't realize that these sites were linked for simulcasts, as each would have its own prime coverage area. Ken Zeke in Michigan replies, I've noticed this for a long time in non-emergency conditions, too. I never explicitly checked parallels, but noticed the same error in both transmitters on the same day within a few hours of each other. I suppose it's likely many ships traveling in the Atlantic are headed to the Gulf and vice versa, so it makes some sense, but it does seem odd. As previewed last week, WBCQ has moved most or all of its 5130 programming, including Area 51, to 6159.9, including World of Radio, UT Monday at 0300, as confirmed September 21st, or is it now Area 61? I measured the frequency at exactly 6159.929. 6 MHz band reception at our distance in Oklahoma is generally superior to 5 MHz, quite aside from any difference there may have been in output power. But 6 MHz also loses closer-in coverage as the skip distance lengthens into the night. Checking IRRS 7290 via Holland Remote for World of Radio, Monday the 21st at 18:01. Tune in earlier, I was surprised to hear a few seconds of WBAI New York being relayed at 1759 at the end of Off the Hook, which is an interesting hacker program we hadn't heard in years. It's still on WBAI itself, webcast Wednesdays at 23 UT. We've long had a barely audible carrier on 4980 at night, presumed WRMI on Exciter as a test or to occupy the frequency. But lately there's been some music audible, a slightly stronger signal, such as September 17th and September 24th around 0620 UT. At that hour, only half of the 14 WRMI transmitters are scheduled. The ones not scheduled are 2, 3, 4, 7, 9, 10, and 14, so one of those is certainly available for this, but it does not appear anywhere on WRMI's website. Bits of info gleaned from listening to Alan Wiener Worldwide on WBCQ September 19th. He says he's been working for several weeks on rebuilding the number one transmitter. I'm still confused about whether that's the one donated by WRMI and whether it has ever been on the air yet in Monticello. They also talk about transmitters 2 and 3, one of those apparently currently being used on 7490. He says except for the 500 kilowatt, all the classic WBCQ transmitters have had to be rewired for single-phase power. Says he has visited the Cypress Creek WHRI facility once, and it's well-built originally for the Christian Scientists, has three diesel generators, and as a peaking plant, can sell excess power back to the utility. The curtain antennas are capable of handling 500 kilowatts. And back in Monticello, he hopes the number one transmitter he's been working on will not burn up again. By the way, for several weeks, the 7490 transmitter had been approximately 60 hertz high, more recently down to only 20 hertz, and on September 24th, I measured it 25 hertz on the minus side. September 18th at 1451, I had no signal from WJHR on 15555 USB, but it's seldom audible anyway. This shortwave broadcast station, or rather a glorified ham rig, is the one most likely to have been blown away by Hurricane Sally at Milton, Florida, near Pensacola. So it will be of note if anyone definitely hear it ever again. On UT Sunday, September 20th, I was hearing from midnight 22 to midnight 52 that theater organ program on WTWW2-5085, or rather its stereo webcast. Bob Heil has finally come up with a new name for his program, which used to be Theater Organ in the Ozarks, which I had to call Theater Organ Not in the Ozarks, but now it is officially Theater Organ Under the Arch, well, almost, since he's across the Mississippi from St. Louis in Belleville, Illinois. Also, the 5085 transmitter has been dogged by parasitic spur carriers for years, about 5072.1 and 5097.9. But as of September 23rd, I can no longer detect them. Something must have been tweaked. But now there's a distorted blob about 5082, too close to the fundamental. I wonder if the Los Angeles area wildfires are threatening KVOH. I get a JBA carrier, nothing more, on 17775, such as September 23rd at 1448, and still at 1703. There's no sporadic E buildup anymore now that we're past summer. I checked various remotes not far from its 100-degree beam target area and was getting a little bit of signal at Key West or Bonaire or Pardinho, Brazil, but a much stronger signal from adjacent BBC Ascension on 17780. Why in the world on an almost empty band are these on adjacent channels? Such are the drawbacks of being stuck on a single, too high frequency, even through solar minimum. A big clear channel 50 kilowatt signals in the west, KTNN 660 at the Navajo Nation on the border between Arizona and New Mexico, has been off the air for several nights. Bob Wien in Albuquerque reports to IRCA September 24th it was off all night into the morning, opening the frequency for other stations such as Calgary, Alberta, and some U.S. stations on 660. Thanks to a friendly chief engineer, more DX tests coming from WNJC, 1360 in New Jersey near Philadelphia. Steve Howe in Vermont passes on this message from Duke Hamann, the chief engineer, that's H-A-M-A-N-N. Continuing the series of weekly tests, the next one will be Sunday, September 27th at midnight Eastern, or 0400 UT. It will initially air the same Morse code IDs and variety of tones previously, but this time he will use a backup antenna tower that he has never used before on a long-closed trash dump the station has leased for 30 years. The landowners have refused to renew the lease as they want to develop the land, so the station will lose this tower site in 6 months. The power will be 1,250 watts, antenna pattern non-directional. And DXers who are also hams will enjoy a second twist for this test. He says, if you're a ham, I'm also planning on trying a test using FT8 over the frequency, a one-way transmission every 15 seconds for 1 hour, calling CQWNJC FM29. I'm going to try to do it Sunday at 01 to 02 Eastern, 05 to 06 UT, as long as I can get the timing set with the Internet STL delay. It's always of interest when a domestic station is considerably off frequency, making it more DXable, or at least more obvious. Craig Christ in Virginia reports, September 23rd at 1755 to 2035 Eastern, something way off frequency at 1439.771 kHz. On IRCA, Russ Edmonds in Pennsylvania replies that WKLV in Blackstone, Virginia has been reported that far off, and Roy Barstow on Cape Cod agrees WKLV has been on the low side of 1440 for some time. One of the esoteric ways to identify stations, especially on medium wave and domestic services, is the pattern of their time signals. Now Russ Edmonds publicizes, we've recently completed a major revision and update of our document, Expanded Time PIPs Catalog. It includes an addition of a sheet for Asian stations, and additional updates or changes. We will issue more versions subsequently. It's available for download at www.radiodxing.com. Look for Time PIPs Catalog. Continuing from last week's item from ARRL about sporadic e-research by monitoring power line noise. It says, this is similar to how meteorologists can predict how likely thunderstorms will occur in the afternoons above New Mexico during monsoon season, but use Doppler radar to identify and track specific thunderstorms as they occur. Notes one of the collaborators at ARRL, Chris Fallon, KL3WX. Isn't he the guy that ran the HARP tests? Ken's technique basically provides weather radar for sporadic E, only using radio noise from power lines as the radar transmitter. The propagation outlook from SWPC Boulder issued September 21st. Geomagnetic field expected to range from quiet to G1 minor storm levels, which are likely on 27 September. Active from 24 to 25 and 28 September, unsettled on the 26th, 29th, and October 11th. Thus, A and K indices peak at 28 and 5 on September 27th, not back down to 5 and 2 until the 30th, continuing into October, except for another peak to 10 and 3 on October 11th, while solar flux is expected to remain steady at 70 through at least October 17th. Glenn Hauser concluding World of Radio 2053, hoping you'll join me again next week as I conclude with a standard disclaimer.